Blog Talk Radio.
Team Lion Show is on and popping tonight. Oh, we have a great woman of God coming right here. She loves God, she loves the Lord, but she loves this country as well. We're going to talk about her journey, her spiritual journey, and her political journey. We're talking about the one and only Janice Ponds. Like It or Not with Michael Lane is right here, and it starts right now.
Like it or not. Like it or not.
Welcome to my world, everyone. This is Like It or Not with Michael Lane, and Michael Lane is who I be. I have to start off with a special love shout to Sarai and Gideon. Much love to these two great patriots who I consider very good friends of mine. I love them, and I want them to, you know, hey, actually, I know they're strong enough to keep the fight going. But we all know that this country is turning and turning and turning. But it's not turning in the right direction. So along with these two patriots, as well as myself and other patriots out there, we are fighting to make what's wrong right. And making what's wrong right doesn't necessarily mean to be angry and to be mean towards anybody. All because we may be passionate towards a situation, it doesn't mean that we're angry at you. This is not an attack on you, but it's more of an attack on where the country is going. If the car is going the wrong way, you have to take that steering wheel with force and steer it the other way. Much love to them. Much love to each and every one of you all out there. Thank you all for joining me for yet another edition of the Team Lion Show, Like It or Not with Michael Lane, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And I'm not going to waste any more time. I hope you all had a wonderful weekend. But we are, I know this is what you all have been waiting for. I've been talking about it during my show this past week. We want to get to know this woman of God even more. When I first heard her on Sarai and Gideon's show, I was blown away because a lot of her journey politically was almost like the same road that I was on. I was once a Democrat, and I realized some things. And we're going to talk to a woman of God who is a woman of the Word, who is a woman of the Bible, who is a woman of integrity, and who is a woman of America, this country. They don't say God bless America for nothing. And she is moved to get people closer to God so America can get right back to where it's supposed to be. I like to bring to you a wonderful person as well, a very great heart, great-hearted woman, Janice Ponds. Welcome to
Michael,
the show.
Michael, thank you. Hi. How are you, my brother?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm just so thankful for you to have. I'm stoked to have you on this show because when I first heard you, and I must say, I was on yours, so I'm really honored, and I thank you again from the bottom of my heart for us going together and just actually just spreading that word.
Absolutely, you know, partnering together and verbalizing the passion, the vision that God puts in us. I mean, that's what he's called us all to do. We're to shout from the mountaintop what he has put in us. The Word of God says that we are living epistles being read of all men. Epistles means a letter. So when people are looking at us, hearing us, what are they reading? And, you know, I've been committed. Let's just get out the gate running here, Michael. You know how we are. We just need to just go ahead and get right in the middle and dive right in. I know you have some questions, but when we're talking about being a living epistle, what are people reading when they are around you, when they're with you? Are you espousing truth? Are you espousing emotions only, not backed up with facts? Today we're in a time in our country like we've never been before in the history of this nation. The destinies, the lives of men, women, boys, and girls are hanging in the balance. And quite frankly, I'm not interested in getting bogged down in emotions. I want to identify a problem, and I want to be a part of a movement that is centered around having solution-focused problem-solving. We know what some of the problems are. And then, again, there are some that don't have a clue what the problems are. They've been driven by emotions. They've been driven by race. They've been driven by what I even call, well, I didn't call it. The Holy Spirit gave me this term. They're driven by the idolatry of race. And so in the final analysis, are these things going to stand up? When we stand before God, are our views about race and that we're black and we all got to stick together just because we're black and so many other pieces of drama that in the final analysis it boils down to nothing, particularly when we're looking at the lives, the very lives of people, whether they're going to live or die is existing. There's so much going on in the black community. You live in Chicago. I mean, you deal with it in a very magnanimous way. So do I. But there are some powerful statistics that are very, very alarming to me. You know, the number one killer of abortion, the number one killer of black Americans is abortion. We used to be, there was one time we were 18% of the population. Now then we went down to 13% of the population. Now we're 12% of the population. Why? I began to ask those questions, why? Why are we reducing in numbers? Well, we're 35-36% of abortions. That's the number one killer of black Americans. Upwards since Roe v. Wade, there have been approximately 16 million black citizens murdered in this country. Now, right there, people want to argue with me and say, well, it's not murder. It's an embryo. It's a fetus. Well, if it's just an embryo, if it's just a fetus, please tell me, why was Scott Peterson charged with double murder? Men are being charged with double murder when they kill their wives and girlfriends who are pregnant. That right there, I mean, you don't need to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. So we have, abortion's the number one killer of black Americans. The leading cause of death for black women ages 25 to 34 is AIDS. What's that about? The leading cause of death among black men ages 15 to 34 is homicide. What's that about? Femicide is the homicide of women. It's the leading cause of death in the United States among young black women ages 15 to 45. Listen, we're in a crisis, and there are people that do not want to deal with it. They just want to sweep things under the rug. We're not going to talk about that. It's all a matter of choice. You all are being judgmental. You're trying to Bible thump people. Well, listen, you know, when we're talking about lives, I want to be a proponent of life. God was a proponent of life. Jesus is the life giver. And I'm telling you what, if we don't speak to these issues, our race is being absolutely under a vicious attack. I am not just for black people. I am for people, but I happen to be a member of the black race. And right now there's an all-out effort going on in our country, and it equals to black genocide. Black genocide, our numbers are ever decreasing, and we're the only race that's decreasing. So what's going to be the population of black people by 2038? Right now we'll be as extinct as the American eagle at the rate that we're going right now, and we're killing ourselves. We're killing ourselves. The number one cause of murder, number one cause of death in our nation amongst the black race is abortion. So in essence, black mothers are killing their own children. We're killing our own selves. Femicide, infanticide, AIDS, HIV. I mean, we've got some staggering numbers that are going on that concern me greatly. When I started looking at it, I was like, oh, my God, what in the world is going on? We have a jobless rate for black men that is more than twice the rate for white men at 14% and rising, twice the unemployment, twice the high school dropouts. 50% of black students will end up dropping out of high school, four times the abortions, four times the HIV, seven times the prison sentences, 12 times the babies born with congenital syphilis, 14 times the murder victims, and 19 times the gonorrhea. And the question that people yell at me, want to know, they want to say to me, the white man's our problem. I beg to differ. I see something that's going on, a pattern that says we've become our own worst enemy. So we need to stop and look and see what we're doing. Who have we aligned ourselves with? In 2009, 16% of babies aborted in New York City were black babies. I mean, what's going on with that? Is that acceptable? We have so-called black leaders that refuse to even address it. Leaders, they fight for health care, education, employment, voter representation, saying we don't need voter ID, so let illegal aliens just have any kind of fraudulent way that they want to have affirmative action, but yet they abandon the cause of justice in reference to innocent, defenseless preborn Americans. We have someone in the White House right now who voted several times against the Born Alive Protection Act. In essence, right, he was denying the 14th Amendment rights of these precious babies who were found alive in soil utility closets. What's that about? And then you got people who want to defend him. He's the biggest liar that's ever been put in leadership in our country. Why are we defending a liar? It's for many. I talked to him. They said, "Well, I back him because he's black. I voted for him because he's black." Well, that's something to really think about. You know, I don't hate that man. I care about him deeply. But I'm gonna tell you what: God takes lying real seriously. He takes murder real seriously. And black people have lined themselves with a political platform that is contributing to the demise of the very race that God has seen fit for them to be a part of. Those are facts. The numbers don't lie. The history doesn't lie. The Democratic Party has historically been about the destruction of black people. And now they have as one of their number one planks abortion, which is the number one killer of black people in America. So I used to be a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat. So true tooth and nail about the Democratic Party. I was told to vote a straight Democratic ticket, and I did, and finally I asked why. I was told we did it because we were black. Well, I began to question, why am I to do something just because I'm black? And I got very concerned that the values of that party did not align themselves with my values as a Christian, as a woman of God, and I began to question what I was doing, and my allegiance was simply because I was black. Everything was centered around race. No white person can ever be trusted. Now some of my best friends are white people. I can never accomplish certain things in my life because I'm a minority. I believe that lie, and there were people that would try to make me believe it while I went on to become the first black school psychologist in Charlottesville, Virginia, in spite of racial prejudice being ripping me apart. But I'm just saying this. Listen, we can stay locked in. We can stay locked in to this lie, or we can rise above and say, I'm going to be an entrepreneur. I want to pursue financial independence instead of having this cradle to grave and nanny state looking for a master to take care of us. Right now, black women, 70% of black babies are born to single women. Before LBJ got in with the Great Society, 82% of black homes had a male and a female in it. Now we got children don't even know who their daddy is. The mama don't even know who the daddy is. We're in a crisis. And so, you know, these are the things that are on my heart. I'm very passionate about it. I talk about it on my website. My website is www.stealingtheminds.com. I have a book by the same title, Stealing the Minds of America.com, a must for all truth seekers who vote. So I address these things on my website in the book that I've written that God put on my heart to write. I point out very specifically social, political, spiritual issues going on in our country right now, and then I point to answers. I have in the book a treatment plan for America. God dropped that in my heart. He said, put America on the treatment plan. I was like, God, that sounds so far-fetched. People will think I'm being grandiose. He said, no, you know some things. You have some answers. You have some solutions. You've been in this field for over 30 years. Put in some practical, in a practical form, some solution-focused points to get people towards having solutions in their community, having solutions within their family, having solutions within the church, having solutions within their hearts. That's what I'm about.
All right. This is Janice Pons, in case you all don't know. Look, if you all want to talk to her, give her some love and show her some love, all you have to do is give us a call, area code 347-826-9357 from all around the world. Area code 347-826-9357. Tell us more about your book, Janice.
Well, Michael, as I said, I had been a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat. It was all, everything was about black this, black this, black, 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 black. You know, growing up in the Southeast in North Carolina during the 60s and 70s, the late 50s, I was born in the late 50s, anything related to liberty was certainly something that I wanted to be a part of. And, you know, dealing with injustices as a way of life contributed to my thinking to strive for just self-improvement and progress. And so when I heard the word liberal, I was like, well, yeah, I'm a liberal. You better believe I'm a liberal. And then I started hearing the term conservative, and I was like, well, what's the difference between the two? So I just started reading and researching for myself. I used to worship the ground that Jesse Jackson walked on. He said, if my heart can conceive it and my mind can believe it, I know I can achieve it. Think, believe, and do. I worshiped the ground that man walked on. I went to the same undergraduate school that he went to, but I just lined up with him and would hear what he said and rallied around it. And then I noticed later that he started changing his views, particularly about life. He was so against abortion and saw how it had the potential to affect the black community. And then I saw them changing their values. And bottom line, the spirit of God just began to deal with my heart and just began to tell me, see, you don't believe in abortion. You don't believe in what the Democratic Party stands for. You're pro-life. And I'm gonna tell you when my mind really got turned around when I became pregnant, and that when that fetal stethoscope was put on my belly, and I heard the heartbeat of my son, I hadn't even thought about, you know, is this a person? You know, it's a fetus. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit really put me under arrest, and he said, this is a person inside of you. And when he began to move, I began to go, wow, what have we been doing? And then I began to learn that, you know, our taxpayer money dollars were going to fund abortion. I didn't know it. I just wasn't paying attention. And then later I started finding out, well, what's Planned Parenthood about? I thought that was a good thing. Oh, yeah, we want to help people to plan parenthood. And then I just started, bottom line, Michael, I started reading and researching for myself. And the things I began to read and research for myself absolutely rocked my world. And I started learning things that, such as the founder of Planned Parenthood said that black people were human weeds, reckless breeders, spawning human beings who should have never been born. I was like, what? The founder of Planned Parenthood? You know, and so I learned that the Planned Parenthood clinics, 78 going up was to 80% of them were in minority neighborhoods. And then I saw where she said, Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, she said things like the most merciful thing that a large family does to one of its infant members is to kill it. And I was like, who have we aligned ourselves with here? And the more I read, the more my eyes began to open, and I realized that I had aligned myself with a demonic agenda that I mean, you're talking about somebody that was a dyed-in-the-wool black Democrat in America, get out of my way. And then God showed me that I was in total error, that the platform did not line up with his word. It did not line up with my beliefs as a Christian. It did not line up with my morals. It did not line up with my values. And he called me on the carpet. He said, now, what you going to do? Are you going to stay stuck here and thinking that what you're doing is right? Are you going to stay, are you going to resist? See, resisting a learning process that could propel one to greater knowledge and truth is a form of pride that can have profound ramifications. And pride comes before the fall. I was so caught up in black this, black that. And God showed me, you're so caught up in black, you can't even see the truth. You can't even see the forest for the trees and the political party and the agendas you've aligned yourself with is contributing to death. And I was like, okay, God, I know nothing. I know nothing. Teach me. And he said, you need to go back to original documents, Frederick Douglass. Go back to the 1800s. Go back to when the Republican Party was started in 1854. I was taught that the Republican Party was our enemy. You better not vote for them. They're against black people. They are steal from me. Man, when I went back and did the history, my eyes began to open, and I have never been the same since, and I've been reading and researching ever since. And my journey is what's documented in the book. It's what's documented in the book. And so, you know, I deal with the history of what happened to us in slavery, up to the starting of the Democratic Party, the starting of the Republican Party, and just the whole history of how the Democrats have always been against the black race. Their modus operandi has been to steal, kill, and destroy. It was back from their inception. It happened through the 1800s. The Civil War was all about that. They did it in all through the 1870s. And then started slavery all over again. And even in 64 and 65 in our lifetime, wouldn't even vote for the Civil Rights Act and the Voting Rights Act. That's in our lifetime. And I get people that want to defend them tooth and nail. They wouldn't even vote. Johnson had to work with the Republican Party to pass those two very important pieces of legislation and then bring it on up to the day. Abortion, infanticide, it's the number one killer of black people, and God's not pleased. God's not pleased. We're going to give an account for who we align ourselves with. We're going to give an account for supporting liars. We're going to give an account. People miss it. Listen, people miss it. People make mistakes. But when you have chronic, pathological liars that insult our intelligence and stand right in front of us and say one thing and do another, you know, we have to ask ourselves, are we going to align ourselves with, support, defend this type of behavior that is trying to take this country right down the tubes? I want to stand up and align myself with patriots of truth. I want to stand up and align myself with people of God that want to say, you know, we're going to stand, we're going to tell the truth, we're going to lock arms, we're going to be people of faith, we're going to call it spade for spade, we're going to educate people, the churches are going to get involved, we're going to start reading rooms in our country, we're going to partner with Dr. Ben Carson. We're going to set up mentoring programs. We're going to unlock children's potential spiritually, academically. We're going to have resource libraries at our church, not just bookstores. What are you going to do about the people that don't have money? We're going to be solution-focused problem solvers. We're going to get in there and not just have games and stuff. We're going to set goals. We're going to be specific. Yes. We're going to have measurable goals, attainable, relevant, time-bound. We're going to be solution-focused problem solvers. That's what I'm about.
Ooh. Oh. Aren't you all uplifted out there? Aren't you all uplifted? I have an email. Real quick, Janice. I just received an email. I am uplifted. I am feeling so good from your words of truth. Woo! Thank you.
Well, praise God for that. You know what, Michael? See, if me and you talking today, you're in Chicago, I'm in Tulsa, Oklahoma. If us talking today, who knows who that person is? See, that's what I say.
Yes.
People say, well, you know, you seem like, people tell me this on Facebook and the different things, venues that God has opened up the door for me to speak what's on my heart. They say, well, look like you're reaching people one person at a time. Honey, listen, if it's one person at a time, so be it. Somebody reached me. See, the Bible says we go from faith to faith and glory to glory. It says what's from the heart reaches the heart. See, these are heart matters. And see, people's eyes are opening up, and a lot of them are scared to speak out about, well, I look like I'm a traitor. You got pastors that are, oh, my God, they're in such strategic positions, but say they're so locked down with tradition that they don't want to break ranks with tradition. Let me tell you what, you better look and see. I encourage you. God has put you in positions of authority. He's put you in positions where you can speak into people's lives. Pastors might say, well, what can I do? I don't have a big congregation. Listen, go to Mardell's and get a DVD series and just start showing that to your people. Break the pattern of dysfunction that's going on in the homes where people, and this goes on in churches and in homes, where people don't talk, they don't trust, they don't feel. That's why people don't want to go to church. They see the same drama going on in church that's going on in the world. Make our churches and our homes safe places and a haven, a place of refuge where people can come and we support one another. Let's just have a meal together where you bring a dish and I bring a dish and we have one Sunday a month where we're going to fellowship around a meal together, and we'll look at the DVD series. Look at Dr. Cloud and Townsend and Cloud. Go to Mardell's. They have that kind of stuff. And go online and pick and order that, and it talks about boundaries. It talks about you don't have to reinvent the wheel. It's already been done. It's already been done. We got to break this demonic death cycle that's going on in America. It is particularly targeted the black race. It has from the day we came here in 1619 when we came over on the slave ships to Virginia. Specifically, that's when we came. We've been targeted ever since. Let me tell you, we got some powerful people. How many lives have been snuffed out of those 16 million? How many doctors? How many lawyers? How many bishops? How many people of God that God had a powerful plan for their life and has been totally snuffed out because we bought into a lie? It's no different than Moses when they said, throw those male kids into the Nile River. It's no different than Jesus when they said to slaughter. They slaughtered Herod, had all of the babies that were under the age of two to slaughter them. Why? To interrupt, to abort a divine plan of God that he wanted to unleash upon the world. And how many times have we bought into that and stood up there and defended it? No more. No more. We need to speak into people's lives. We need to offer them life. Go buy some DVD series. Start there. You might not have a mega church, but I'm telling you what, start with small things. Get in touch with Michael. Michael can get in touch with me. I can send you to websites that have so many resources for you, pastors, so many resources for you at home. My book has a treatment plan in it. I'll give my books away. I'm not the least bit interested in selling books. My heart is to help people to see that they can be empowered. You don't even hear about people being entrepreneurs anymore. You don't hear about the government promoting small business loans. They want us to all be government slaves. They want us to have a cradle-to-grave name state. No more. Not me. I will rise up. I want to take people with me to propel them to greatness, that they can see what's in them so that their God-given gifts may come forth with fruition to be all that God has called them to be. And God will be glorified, and the body of Christ will go forth and shine forth the way God has called us to in this last and evil day. Listen, this thing is wrapped up. The enemy's seriously shaking in his boots. He doesn't want us to walk in truth. He doesn't want a Janice Pons. He doesn't want a Michael Lane. He doesn't want a John Smith. He doesn't want that person to send in the email. He doesn't want us to have a revelation of the truth. But Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 44, that Satan is the father of lies, and the truth has never been in him. If he's talking, he's lying. So we must proclaim the truth, and I say let's shout it from the mountaintop. Let's get on this show again, Michael. Let's come from some different angles. Let's talk about issues related to codependency. Let's talk about dysfunction in families. Let's talk about male-female relationships. Let's talk about the tribal thinking that goes on in our black community. Let's talk about everything. Let's unfold these issues. Let's turn over every stone, and let's offer solutions. Listen, if we don't have an awareness of what's going on, how in the world are we going to address it? You can't even get to where you need to go unless you can identify where you are. Once you identify where you are, Once you identify where you are, then we can put our hands together. We can lock arms. We're not going to judge you. We're going to say, okay, baby, I love you. God will meet you right where you're at. I know what I know. You know what you know. Let's put our heads together, and let's go on forth and walk out some victory here. Let's get these children off the street. Let's get some reading rooms in the churches. In the churches, yeah. In the churches. It's not someplace where we just gather on Sunday morning and hear a sermon and pass the offering plate and lift our hands and praise God. I want some life-changing structure. Structure. People want structure. Structure brings predictability. Predictability brings security. Security makes a fruition come out of us that changes us, and we know what to expect. You got children walking around today, they don't know their head from their tail. We can change that. Let's offer some solution-focused problem-solving. Put our heads together. You all email Michael. Go to my website, www.stealingthemindsofamerica.com. I am about empowering people to be all that God calls them to be, and I know that Michael Lane has the same heart. Let's partner together. Pastors, any way that I can help you. My God, that's what I'm called to do. I will help you in any way that I can. Please, anybody out there that's listening to this, I'm not judging you. All I'm saying, let's rally together and pull this thing together because Jesus is coming soon. Glory to God. He's coming soon. So we just got to get on and get this thing together and stop this femicide and infanticide and black women being the number one killer, HIV, and black men between a certain group, the number one killer is homicide. It's ridiculous. It's nothing but the enemy killing, stealing, and destroying, just like Jesus said in John 10:10. But he said in that same verse, but I have come, God, Jesus the Christ, has come, that you might have life and have it more abundantly. What are you doing to contribute to that life more abundantly? What will it look like in your life? It will be observable and it will be measurable. You will be seen doing certain things and it will be measurable. Huh? Out of 30 days, 2 out of 30 days, our church will gather as a body and offer these DVDs for our parishioners to look at, to be empowered, to realize that they can break some dysfunctional cycles. That's measurable. So let's get solution focused. I love you with the love of the Lord. I know I come across with a lot of passion, but I mean to. I just say it like it comes out, and I don't make any excuse for it. I was bound up, I was shackled, I was chained, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I am indeed free. I left the slave plantation of the Democratic Party. I left running, and I haven't looked back since.
Right. We're running out of show. Sister Pons, we're running out of show, but I'm going to read this email real quick. It's Daryl. Derek. His name is Derek, and he's from Derek from Baltimore. Hey, good to hear from you again, brother. This is Derek from Baltimore. And Derek from Baltimore writes, I am a black man from Baltimore who is a Democrat.
Yes.
Sister Pons sounds very good, pretty convincing. I will start researching.
Good for you, my brother. God bless you. And that's what happened to me, Derek. I just started reading for myself. Derek, go in and type things like the New Orleans Massacre. Just Google that. See, what I did, I started going back to the 1800s, and I started seeing a pattern. I saw a pattern in the 1800s, after the Civil War, all the way up to the early 1900s. And I just saw this pattern. And I was like, oh, my God, it went into the 60s. It went into the 70s, the 80s, the 90s. And look where we are now. Oh, God. God opened my eyes. My brother, Derek. I pray that the eyes of your understanding, and I speak this over everybody as we wrap this up, Michael, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you would know the hope of God's calling for every area of your life. I break the power of the enemy over your life, those powers and spirits that would blind you from seeing the truth of God's word for your life. I command you in the name of Jesus to rise up, man and woman of God, boy and girl of God, to be all that God has called you to be. You are a powerhouse. The enemy is afraid of you. The enemy is afraid that you will find out who you really are. You're not a slave. You are a prince. and a princess, ordained of the mighty, with the mighty hand of God, with the power of God. So rise up, go forth, and be all that God has called you to be. Read, research for yourself. Think outside of the box. Go for it for yourself. Be that person that will think for yourself, and then look at all the facts, draw your conclusion, listen to the Spirit of God in your heart, and break forth and be all that God called you to be. Go take some classes. Look at some DVDs. Go on YouTube. Start educating yourself. And I'm telling you right now, I had a book in me, and I have many more books in me that I'm going to write, but some of you have books in you. You know why? You got a story to tell. You've been through something. Start writing it. I just started writing, and when the door opened, I already had my manuscript. Start writing. Start writing. God will use you.
Amen. Amen. And amen. There. I hope you heard this. I know you're taking it in. Man, thank you. Thank you.
See, Gary, let me say this. Michael.
Like, listen. And just listen.
Gary, there are people that Derek can get to that I can't reach, Michael. There are people that, see, you've been called, everybody that's listening, you've been called to a specific venue. Go after it. Get prepared. Get quiet. Read. Research for yourself. Think for yourself. And just, you know, everybody don't want to hear what you got to say. I've learned that. But some people want to hear it. They're ready.
Yes.
They're ready.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And I'm definitely ready to continue to have you on the show, and we can build, and we're gonna stay in touch, definitely.
Let's do it, Michael, and we're going to deal. I just really feel in my heart that the Holy Spirit wants to open this up, that we can deal with other issues. It won't just be racial, but see, it ties in. It all fits in. But we're going to deal with some issues of people's hearts, you know, people that they can type in, what do I do about this? I mean, this is not a counseling session per se, but it's just a brainstorming session so we can get people pointed towards some solution-focused problem-solving, because God wants people set free. He loves you. God is not holding anything against you. If you've had an abortion, just know he loves you. He's not holding anything against you. He wants you to choose life. He wants you to fulfill the plan that he has for you. If you've missed it in any area, just ask him to forgive you and forgive yourself. Ask God to forgive you and forgive yourself and open up your heart to the flow that he wants you to have. Michael and I love you. We support you, and we just want all of us to be all that we're called to be.
All right, and I love you too. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming on. It's been an absolute uplifting, not only for this country that this country needs to hear, but it's for our souls. Our spirit needs to hear, because our soul and our spirit is eternal. So you're definitely giving us spiritual food as well as knowledgeable food. So I thank and I love you so much. And God bless you on your continued journey. God bless you on your work, because, yes, he will say, well done, thy good and faithful servant.
Amen, my brother. Listen, God's going to do something in us. He's doing something in us and through us. And I speak that into existence for all of us. God wants to do something in us and through us. All we have to do is cooperate with the process. God bless you all.
God bless you all. And join me on tomorrow night, everybody, smacktongue.com, smacktongue.com, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Pacific. And we're going to be talking some more. We're going to talk about the Gitmo detainees that were set free in that deal. So we got a lot to talk about on tomorrow night. Join me. And I love each and every one of you all from all around the world. Thank you for that email, brother. And as always, your boy Michael Lane saying peace, love, and keep doing.
God bless you, Michael.
Like it or not, Michael Lane. Like it or not, you're in tune too.